Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So this is live call-in radio. It's a holiday weekend. You have time, extra time on your hands. You can give us a call this morning. We'll talk about the market, talk about your portfolio, talk about that special recommendation that your financial advisor wants you to consider, and you weren't quite sure whose best interest it was serving.
What does that actually sound like? Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
So give us a call. The magic number to get access here is 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. And this is the first weekend of the month, which we normally would be... No, it's not. It's the last weekend.
Not quite the first weekend of the month, yeah.
So the first weekend of the month's coming up next weekend, and that is when we do our stock market update webinar, which we have to wait for a short week, since Monday's a holiday, to find out what's going to happen, to find out what we're going to talk about next week.
Indeed.
This is not a canned program. We bring you current market news and analysis on those webinars. And if you are not already registered, do so. While you're thinking about it, go to iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner, it says webinar in a few more words. And all you have to do is a couple of clicks, your name and your email, and you will get an admission ticket electronically in your inbox. Even if you cannot come next weekend, right after the show, you can still register and then get a replay link. So you'll be able to watch it on your own schedule. And it will be a much more interesting replacement for all of the reruns, which are starting up now. We're down to ends of season, and we're going through our DVR and saying, no, we've seen that one before. We've seen that one before.
Deja vu sets in seriously for the summer now. That's right.
My wife is a serious deleter when it comes to the DVR. Anyway, you remember the old proverb that actually goes, I did some research on it to figure out where it came from. And it's an old German proverb that is credited with having started around the 1200s, 1230, something like that. And that's the best I could find. That is, for the want of a nail,
okay,
a shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For the want of a horse, a rider was lost. For the want of a rider, a battle was lost, which means you lost the war. And in that era, horses were the way you got around, the way you fought. So that or hand to hand. But for want of a nail has new meaning in today's world for builders. There are numerous stories that you can find fairly quickly when you start browsing the internet. This one that you picked up, Perry, is about the home builder who has been waiting for 3 weeks for a single part, a door hinge.
A door hinge. And it is not just unavailable, it is completely unavailable, on back order, can't buy it, can't get it delivered, can't finish the house, can't get the hardware.
In America, he can't get the door hinge that he needs.
It's amazing. You know, you don't think about that. We don't think about availability of stuff like that. It's but that's where we are. And it's such a big deal that the construction industry has just been put on its head. They can't get anything finished. They can't get lumber. They can't get nails, as you said. They can't get hinges. They can't get anything. Everything is scarce right now. And that's what happens when you shut everything down and then turn it back on, and it comes back on with a vengeance, and it's ready to go. Well, the supply line's not, and so that stuff doesn't show up when you need it.
Well, that's certainly the case. Even in home construction, one of the articles I read within the last couple of weeks, the builder has actually quit taking orders for new homes because he has a two-year backlog between the orders and what he anticipates for supply. 2 years out. And I mentioned last month that our friend Jack back in Maryland had been down in Florida, Pensacola, looking for a snowbird home. And the builder there had homes up, but he couldn't get trusses. And he figured it would take him a year to get trusses to finish the houses that he has ready for the roof. I mean, they're going to sit there with no roof for a year.
There's a whole bunch of, you know, partially finished homes out there that they just can't get the lumber or the hardware to finish. They can't get them done, so they can't move them. And that's why home prices go up. I mean, it's a classic supply and demand issue right now. There's a huge demand and no supply. And when that happens, it doesn't matter if you're talking about houses or cars or grapefruit, the price goes up every time.
So if you're out buying a house, I mean, typically you already know that prices are high, and actually sales have been softening the length of time on market around the country. I don't know specifically Seattle. We do have an article coming up on it. Prices are still strong around here, but it's taken a little longer to get some of these transactions put together in some parts of the country. But the one area where the shortage is really just simply holding its own is in automobiles. The automobile manufacturing business was really hurt with supply chain problems because we quit buying stuff, or we quit shipping stuff in from Asia, and specifically Taiwan. They are the largest manufacturer of auto semiconductors. And if you don't have semiconductors, you don't build a car today. Everything runs on a computer chip.
Yep, got to have them.
And as Tom on the prior show has explained, one computer chip requires another one in order to get the information it needs to actually do its job. They are so tightly interrelated. So if you want to buy a car today, and many people do, the cars that are selling are the very profitable SUVs and trucks. And because there's a limited supply of semiconductors and steel and rubber, where's the profit being made? Well, profit's made on those two types of vehicles, so that's what's getting built. And the rental car industry is a little bit upset with their car manufacturers, because they can't go in and get cheap prices on fleet cars. In fact, they're having a hard time getting fleet cars.
Any cars, sure.
So much so that they are in the used car acquisition market, which makes used cars more expensive than they have ever been. And if you want one, there's no dealing.
It's all top dollar. Here's what it's going to go for, and here's what you're going to pay. And there's no negotiating right now. Again, it's supply and demand. There's a huge demand right now, that pent-up demand from the last couple of years of everything being shut down. Now everyone's coming back online. Some people were fortunate enough, of course, all through the whole pandemic, not to lose their job, not to lose their paycheck. But nobody went out buying anything. There was too much uncertainty out there. Everybody hunkered down. Put away the checkbook, and now it's back out. But the supply chain just doesn't turn on that quickly. It takes a while for that to catch up. And that's where we are right now. When you've shut the engine of the world off for 18 months, it's going to backfire a couple times when you fire it up, and that's what we're looking at right now.
Okay. Well, if you want to figure out how we deal with that, you should sign up for next week's webinar. Go to IRIradio.com. IRIradio.com, lower left-hand corner. Sign up for the website. If you can't watch it next Saturday, you'll get a replay link, as long as you have registered in advance. So how do you deal with this? Because basically what this is causing is running up inflation numbers. And there's some of this which is probably transitory. The semiconductor chip supply problem looks like it might be 2 or 3 years out, because the ones who are in the business are trying to get permits to build new factory capacity. But the machines that make the semiconductors, the new ones, the really good ones today, they take about 3 years to get one of the machines. and you've got to build a factory. And undoubtedly, wherever you build a factory, there's going to be somebody who says, we don't think you should build that factory there. We're going to sue you.
It's not the cleanest industry. That's true, too. They're not the cleanest industry. And so even though if that's one of those industries, it's going to have transitory inflation in it because the supply line is going to catch up. 3 years is a long time. So there can be some displacement there, and there can be some effect on the economy, which ripples through, I'm not sure anybody ever thought that, well, we're just going to run out of semiconductors. It's like running out of, it's as crazy as running out of 2x4s. Well, that could never happen.
Right.
Yeah, it could. So here we are. So it's going to take a while for those things to unwind and come back online.
So the other part of this inflationary cycle that is supposed to be transitory, but temporary is what that means. That's what the Fed means by it.
Right.
It's going to come in and then it's just going to fade away and we don't have to do anything. We're just going to sit here in our ivory tower and watch time pass by. And we'll show up weekly for our meetings with Congress and give you announcements that will reassure you that we at the Federal Reserve know exactly what needs to be done to pad our own pocketbooks, of course. But what is happening is that labor is hard to find. Not that it's not available. It's just when you get paid to do nothing, I wonder, you want me to show up when and do what? McDonald's is offering people $50 just to fill out an application, not even to go to work or have an interview. Show up. And it's not in every location, but it's around the country. They're placed $50 just to fill out an application, and they're reporting people aren't even doing that.
Not even coming in. It's really tough, and it's just what you said, Don. If you get enough money to stay home, a lot of people will. And so that's another one of those things that's going to have to wait for the employees to come back online, because right now they're being paid to not work. And it's going to take a little bit for that to get squared away. It's not going to go away right away.
It's the socialist wing of the Democrat Party experimenting with a national income benefit where everybody gets a check from the government. Now, where the government gets the money, that remains a mystery to the socialist Democrats.
It just comes, right?
Yeah. Well, apparently we can just print it, and so it doesn't matter. And if we can just print the money, why on earth do they need to raise taxes?
That's an excellent question that I don't have an answer to, and I don't think they do either. I don't think they ever asked the question, why do we have to raise taxes? It's just that we are going to raise taxes, and that's what they seem to do almost all the time. We are right up against our first break of the morning here, Don. Might as well take it on time here. I'd like to remind everyone that next weekend is our monthly market update, Saturday, June 5th, 9:15, right after the show. You can register for that by going to irradio.com. That is irradio.com. Just go to the webinar page, give the registration link a click, and you'll get an email back with a link in it. And next week after the show, you just click that link and you will be online live with us. We are going to go through what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the market out there. And we always have plenty of time for your questions. So if you have particular questions about even individual securities, you can send us the ticker symbol early or just send it that morning. And we'll get to all those. We'll get to all those questions. We get plenty of great questions. And it's one of our favorite times of the morning during the webinar is getting all the questions from the viewers. So, again, that's next week, 9:15, Saturday, June 5th. If you want to talk to us this morning, feel free to give us a call, 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Live and local, you're listening to Investor Resources. This is your opportunity to call in and have your questions answered. The lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Or email your question to help at irradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
Rule 2. Excesses in one direction lead to an opposite excess in the other direction. I'm Don Creech. Along with Perry Sykes, we host Investor Resources every Saturday morning at 8. No professional or successful investor ever bought and held for the long term without regard or respect for the risk that are undertaken. Professionals are looking at speculative risk and have a plan to protect capital. What is your plan? By the time most investors figure out their risk exposure, it is often too late to do anything meaningful about it. Be prepared. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@iriradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be sure to register for our next stock market update at iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com.
Supply chain problems, the virus, and social distancing are adding to economic weakness. I'm Perry Sykes, and along with Don Creech, we host Investor Resources every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Investors are ignoring falling earnings that have serious consequences. It's like running red lights without an accident. Soon, you think you're good at running red lights, and eventually your luck runs out. By the time most investors know their losses are serious, it's often too late to do anything meaningful about it. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@iriradio.com. Call us at 800-317-9119. Remember, get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@iriradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be prepared. Register for our next monthly market update at iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles.
Well, that's true. The rain is gone. Bright, sunshiny day today. It looks like we're going to have a good weekend. We are, let's see, Bill, I see that you're there. Let me just wrap up what we were talking about on the last segment here. We're talking about these rising costs with all this supply chain stuff and prices are being pushed up. Talk about automobile prices. They're at premium prices, no discounts, no deals. If you get a discount, it's not very much. I mean, you're a good negotiator. But the other issue that's driving this, we mentioned the employment issue and people, companies trying, actually paying people to apply for their jobs and give them bonuses for hiring. And they're raising wages voluntarily. Now, I don't think that's transitory. I think that becomes permanent. If you raise somebody's wage, let's just use an arbitrary number, you can't get somebody at 15 an hour, and so you work your way up. Now you're offering 20 an hour, and somebody shows up to work at 20 bucks an hour or 25. And next year or the year after that, when the government is decided not to send everybody as much money as possible to not work, you actually go get a job, the new wage level is right there. Now, how do you cut that back? You've just forced wages to a higher level, and I don't think you turn around and say to everybody, well, now that everybody's back to work, we're glad to have you here, and you're now going to give you a 15% haircut on your income.
Welcome back. Yeah, that's a tough sell, and I think that's why there's so many companies offering signing bonuses or just an application bonus because they can't afford just to raise wages indefinitely. So it's so tough to back those down once they're up.
Well, and yeah, some industries are on really thin margins. They really do operate on volume. So the grocery business, the restaurant business, and there are others, but they don't have a huge bucket of money left over every day, particularly in the restaurant business. Most of them are run by local entrepreneurs. They're not wealthy people with a... They go down to the bank and say, open up the vault. You know, I want to get into my safe deposit box and play with my gold coins. You know, they're not Uncle Scrooge.
And a lot of those companies, they also don't have pricing power where they can just pass that cost through to us, which is what most of those wage increases will be passed on to the end consumer. And some businesses don't have room to do that. So then they're stuck. They end up stuck between a rock and a hard place. So again, man, it's going to take some time to see this level out.
So the other thing that, and you mentioned they can't pass that cost. So that's the other thing that the administration wants to raise taxes. They assume corporations pay tax. Corporations never pay tax.
No.
Because tax, that whatever the government, whatever blood they suck out of the corporation, is a cost. In order to stay in business, you pass the cost onto the consumer. When the government says we're going to tax the money out of those wealthy corporations, they're just saying we don't have enough guts to tell you how much we're going to tax you. So we're going to hide it in the product and services that the companies that you do business with, and they're going to suck the money out of you and you'll never know the difference. Corporations don't pay tax. They are de facto collectors of tax for the government without having to run it through your IRS audit. Anyway, with that, we have Bill from Bellevue. Bill, you're online. Thanks for calling. Glad to have you out there in the audience on a weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Go right ahead. Go ahead, sir. Yep, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, well, here's my situation. I'm in my 70s, and recently, a few months back, I inherited a building, and I sold it. I had an offer to buy it or sell it right away. I sold it for $725,000 cash. And now, so I'm sitting here with a bunch of cash, and I've never really made a lot of money. I have never probably made over $60,000-$70,000 a year, or just have, you know, mechanic jobs. So I don't know what to do with all this money. What would you suggest I do with it?
Well, first of all, Bill, that's a wonderful issue to have. Most people don't wonder, what should I do with all this cash? That's not a bad way to start Memorial Day weekend. Yeah.
Well, Bill, that actually, your question involves a lot more discussion in terms about who you are, where you are, your planning, what your family situation is. And therein lies a reason why we should actually talk to you during the week, because we need to actually know some pretty personal information in order to give you specific guidance. And our phone number during the week is 800-317.
Hold on a second. 800, well, okay.
800-317-9119.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, just give us a call during the week, because yeah. We can't just tell you what to do with that kind of cash with knowing your name and you're from Bellevue.
There's too many options, and we need to know a little more about what's going on in your life before we could even make a recommendation. So
that's a good call, Bill. We're glad to have you out there. I hope you have a great weekend. And that opens up a phone line. The number to get back in where Bill just got back in is 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. Yeah, selling a building and having a pot full of cash, that's not a bad situation to be in, but it does open up other problems that you now have to deal with, and that is something that if you want to talk to us about, you call us during the week at 800-317-9119. Let's see, where were we now? Well, we were talking about inflation and wages. I don't think this inflation stuff is as temporary as the Fed wants us to believe. But how do you deal with that? Well, one of the things you need to deal with is you need to have assets invested. And that's Bill's problem. He used to be able to leave the money in the bank. And back in the 80s, you could walk into the bank and you could get a 10-year certificate of deposit, FDIC insured, to $250,000 for 12% a year.
And why wouldn't you, right? I mean, that's guaranteed money, 12%, perfect. But those kinds of questions, like the question Bill had, those are always individual answers. There's no cut and dry. Here's the cookie cutter. Here's what should happen for everyone. Those are always different. And so when you need to be invested, you need to be working with someone who is going to spend enough time to figure out what it is that you need. What are you looking for? What needs to happen to make your life work? And that's really important.
That is true. So you got to be invested in the stock market. You need some help with that, and most of your financial advisors are following the same basic pattern. Before the show started, I've been running through our monthly 401k updates because the end of the month was Friday as far as the market's concerned, with Monday being a holiday. So I'm doing month-end stuff. And the interesting thing is that the market is, the personality of the market right now is changing. Mm-hmm. The leadership of the market is changing. And if you're not one of our clients, the odds are you are in what is referred to as 1952 modern portfolio theory. And if you're still driving a Studebaker, you're modern. I mean, that's the way it goes. There aren't very many of those left on the road, even among collectors. But the market is shifting here, and the same old stuff that we've seen work over the last year isn't working that way anymore.
And that's what happens when the leadership of the market changes. It rotates. There's something else that begins to be in the leadership of what's going on in the market. And if you're sitting there with that pie chart portfolio, nothing in your investment makeup is going to change. It's going to stay the same. You're going to have the same portfolio this month that you had last month. And it doesn't matter what's going on in the market. In fact, they don't even care what's going on in the market. They care about keeping your asset allocation the same way as the day you signed up. And that's just not adequate anymore. There are too many things that change, and you need a portfolio that's going to adapt to what's going on out there currently. And that's what we do. We make sure that we're looking at where's the leadership in the market. Let's go there. And maybe even more importantly, let's get out of the weakness of the market. Don't own the weak stuff. That's the part that can really hurt you. And that's what stays in your portfolio with that pie chart.
Well, and you go in and talk to your financial advisor, or you get back on your website, and they say, no, we adapt. We rebalance your portfolio every quarter. We sell your winners and we buy your losers. You do what?
Yeah.
You sell my winners and buy my losers. Well, yeah, because eventually losers become winners. Unless, of course, they go bankrupt, but we don't want to talk about that. Or their product fails. Somebody takes them over. I mean, whatever. It'll just, the market always goes up. Just go home and go to bed. Forget about this. Collapsing? The market doesn't collapse. Last year, that was kind of an exception. That was pandemic. That great financial crisis. Well, yeah, but we survived that. And you did survive the tech bubble. Okay, but what you did was you went through years and years of recovery, last year being an exception. It was the biggest, fastest bear market and the fastest recovery in recorded history as far as the market data is concerned. That was an exception, but also helped along as a crisis by government intervention instead of, well, there's a rabbit trail I won't go down. I see, in fact, to rescue me here, Perry, I see Gene from North Carolina is
should we take
hanging on here.
We're right at the bottom of the hour. Should we take a break or should we take Gene first?
Gene, he's long distance, but we're paying the fare. Let's go ahead and get the break on schedule. We'll get to Gene
We'll take the bottom of the hour. Gene, we will be with you shortly. Hope you have time to hang with us. I'd like to remind everyone that at next Saturday, we have our market update, June 5th, 9:15, right after the show. That happens online. If you'd like to register for that, please just go to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Head to the webinar page, give the registration link a click, and you will get an email back with a link in it. And next week after the show, you just click that link and you will be live online with us with plenty of time to talk through what's going on in the markets and what's going on in your personal economy. If you have questions about anything financial, anything specific about any holdings, whether you should keep them in your portfolio or something you're thinking about buying, we would be happy to give you a second opinion. It's a great time for that to happen. Again, you can register for that at iriradio.com. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at iriradio.com and log on for a free report. That's iriradio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757.
Supply chain problems, the virus, and social distancing are adding to economic weakness. I'm Perry Sykes, and along with Don Creech, we host Investor Resources every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Investors are ignoring falling earnings that have serious consequences. It's like running red lights without an accident. Soon, you think you're good at running red lights, and eventually your luck runs out. By the time most investors know their losses are serious, it's often too late to do anything meaningful about it. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irradio.com. Call us at 800-317-9119. Remember, get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be prepared. Register for our next monthly market update at irradio.com. That's irradio.com.
For many investors, the stock market is like a game. I'm Don Creech. Along with Perry Sykes, we host Investor Resources every Saturday morning at 8. We track market-generated information and rotate client portfolios to areas of market leadership. Damage to the global economy from the virus is real, creating serious problems in traditional areas of safety. Professionals examine risk and always have a plan to protect capital. Do you have one? By the time most investors figure out their risk exposure, it is often too late to do anything meaningful about it. Be prepared. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be sure to register for our next stock market update at irradio.com. That's irradio.com.
Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there, and what are they going to give for? I'm at $600 down here now, 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, the 50 now, 60, will you give me 60 now, 75?
Well, the market is an auction market. It doesn't matter whether it's real estate, stocks, bonds, commodities, everything is a negotiation. Some of it's just more digital today than it used to be. And Gene from North Carolina has a call about interest rates. Gene, glad you're out there again this weekend. What's up?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Don and Perry. Before I get to my question about the 10-year Treasury rate, I just had one quick comment about this lack of parts. What happened to this 3D printing revolution? Why can't we print a door hinge?
You know what, Gene? I've thought the same thing. I'm like, wait, shouldn't we be making those everywhere anyway? So they may be the happiest people in America, the 3D printers. They're going to be saying, hey, wait, we can make that for you. Let's get that out there right now. You don't have to get that from Taiwan or anywhere else. We can deliver that today. So that may be coming.
There's an ETF just for 3D printing. I don't see the price of that ETF going up. I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, but the 10-year Treasury, for example, we use that just as a proxy for all U.S. debt that's being printed because of all this extra spending and trillions of dollars. Do you think that this puts kind of an upper limit with all the increase in borrowing of what the Fed can offer as a rate if people want more money, an increased rate because they fear inflation? But right now it's 1.5, 1.6%. But I mean, if they raise it to 2, or people don't want to buy it if it's 2 or 2.5, is there an upper limit that the Treasury says that, you know, we can't do this anymore because we can't even service the debt for the next 10 years at this rate?
I don't think the Fed cares what the service is. That's not their issue. That's up to Congress, and Congress clearly doesn't care how much debt we have. The Fed's target is technically 2, but they've kind of hedged and said, well, 2.5 won't hurt. 3 probably is the upper limit as far as the Fed before they're going to be forced into a corner. But that's irrelevant because the marketplace will actually determine the cost of money. And as investors see inflation rising, they're going to insist on a lower price for the bond in order to get a higher yield. And that is something which we have seen happen. Right now, the interest rates have backed off. The 10-year that you referred to peaked out in late 18, dropped significantly into last year. And so we're up from last year, and we're up about what would be referred to as resistance, a prior plateau that we've hit before when things just rolled over. I'm inclined to think that the amount, if the administration is able to get the amount of new spending passed requiring a huge amount of new debt, that we are basically going to watch the dollar fall and move more jobs overseas. And what we're going to find is cheaper prices overseas, and it's going to have an offset to the other pressures inside. And we're seeing some shift of sovereign bond purchases move away from the United States because of all this proposed new debt. So there's always a marketplace trade-off. But right now, my guess is we'd probably look at three before the Fed would be forced to change its policy and start cutting back. Now, they actually are cutting back on some of their bond buying right now, but Wells Fargo has been restricted from buying bonds because it's had a really sloppy financial situation for years.
And buying bonds, that's part of the issue with where the rate is. Right now, there's no problem selling all those bonds. So they don't have to raise rates to move their inventory. It's happening now, even though we're at like you said, 1.516. That's still better than most of the world. So the world is still coming here to soak up those treasuries. So there's no issue getting rid of their inventory right now. And until that becomes an issue, rates probably aren't going up.
It doesn't become an issue until other countries
yep.
offer us competition, right?
Absolutely. That works just like everything else. And as soon as somebody else finally budges, that changes the balance worldwide, and that's when things can start ticking up.
Yeah. So the only saving grace is that all the other economies in the world for sovereign debt are doing much worse than the U.S., right?
We're still the cleanest, dirty shirt in the pile. That's correct.
That's right. the prettiest horse in the glue factory, right?
That's the one. That's us. Yep.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gene.
So one of the issues that would cause the market to tank, theoretically, is that the Fed starts tapering. They quit buying as much in either the treasury or the mortgage-backed security arena. And with that, liquidity starts to go away. Liquidity goes away. The money to buy the stuff and chase prices higher goes away. So you get a stock market correction, which can lead into a self-fulfilling downward spiral, which if you're using standard processes, you have no protection against it. You're just told to ride through because eventually it all works out. But in the event the Fed started tapering right now, and they show signs of doing that, all they really have to do to stabilize that is let Wells Fargo start buying bonds, because they have a ton of cash in reserves now, and they could step in and buy what the Fed decides not to buy.
Can't buy, yeah.
And it would take a while for that to work through the system before we end up, as Gene said, other countries figure out, yeah, I'm not too sure about the United States anymore. Maybe we should go find someplace else to park some cash just in case. Yeah, we don't know when that's going to happen. We do see some of that on the fringes right now. But one of the questions is, where'd you go? Well, you have Japan and you have China. You want to trust China?
Not big on that. No.
Yeah,
the
way China, the way China is going, maybe we're not going to have a choice before too long. Because so many people are caving in to China's pressure to not say bad things about China. No, we can't say anything bad about China. There's no such thing as a China virus. So I don't know, what are we supposed to call a Spanish flu? I don't know, German measles. It's an insult to those countries because that's where they came from. How about Lyme's disease from Lyme, United States? I mean, you can't name a virus from its point of origin, which is traditionally what happens, but not if you're going to offend the Chinese. They don't like it. Let's go back to building before I get myself in trouble here. I may already have. We were talking about the shortage on lumber, steel, and stuff, nails and hinges. Actually, builders have now been advised to stock up on lumber and steel to plan as best they can for the next 6 months because there is not sufficient supply. And if there's insufficient supply, what is the best way to solve that problem? Get more of it. So, with a shortage of lumber in the United States, our administration has decided that it is appropriate to raise the tariffs on lumber imports. That'll solve the problem.
That sounds like great timing, huh? We have a massive shortage. Well, let's just raise the tariffs so anything that we bring in specifically from Canada, we're going to pay even more for. It's an amazing thing to see happen.
It's you need more? Oh, we're the administration, and we know what's good for you. This is a way we can collect more money and pretend we're not taxing you, because it doesn't come out of your pocketbook directly. We're just sucking it out indirectly, but we still get the money. That is, yeah, that's the old adage, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Yeah, that kind of help we don't need, and it's just another one of those things with government intervention. They're almost always going the wrong direction at the wrong time, and you know, we need much more lumber. We don't need housing prices to go up more than they are right now. Construction costs go up even more than they are right now. So raising tariffs right now just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, on the U.S. Commerce Department's website, tariffs on Canadian lumber shipments into the United States, they want to move that from 9% to 18%, 18 and a fraction. And it says that the high prices of lumber are adding about $36,000 to the price of the average new home for middle-class households across the country. And apparently that's not enough higher, so the administration wants to raise it even more, make it more expensive for first-time buyers to get into a house. I mean, this is asinine. It just makes absolutely no sense. You already have massive house price pressure just because of people fleeing the city. Yes, whether it's San Francisco, Seattle, L.A., New York, those are some signs people want to move back into New York because the prices have fallen so drastically that rent's becoming reasonable. I saw that one of the Secretary Mnuchin just sold his place in New York last month, and it was at a big discount. I think it was still something in excess of $25 million for his condo. Must have been a big condo.
Way less than it used to be worth. And again,
yeah, it was over 30 before.
It's just supply and demand. When supply, which is now big in places like New York and San Francisco, the supply is everywhere. The demand is gone, so the prices go down. I mean, supply and demand works all the time. That's what drives prices. And so in those cities, the supply is huge, the demand is low, and that's why things are on sale right now.
Demand is high. Or you're talking about San Francisco.
Too many people have left. They emptied out. People have to just keep lowering prices until someone bites.
Yeah, that's true. And they do it so that it's hard to figure out how much of a discount they have given, because they don't change the stated rent, but you get three months of free rent plus, oh, you want some new carpet and some new paint and some new appliances, and yeah, I'll pay for all
whatever
that stuff
you want.
If you'll move
come
in.
On in. Yeah, come yeah. on in.
Oh,
we're
and
good.
You want if you want a garage parking spot too? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll throw that in too instead of getting rent for it. Here in Seattle, a year-over-year index was up by 18.3%, making us the third hottest annual house price inflation in the country. We are behind Phoenix, that was up 20, and San Diego up 19.1. Since 2000, house prices have more than tripled.
That's amazing, and that really is amazing.
That and that's inflation that the Fed does not count
and or control. They can't stop that. So they can raise mortgage rates if they want. They can raise interest rates and try to make it more expensive for people to buy, but they cannot shut down the demand. So that one is going to be tough to slow down. Like you said, Don, there's still people waiting for homes for 2 years just to be built. So there's a lot of demand out there, and the supply is just not there to fill it. That causes prices to go up. We are at our quarter-hour break here, Don. We got one segment left to go. Plenty of time to get your questions on the board. If you have a question for us this morning, feel free to give us a call, 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. And one more time, if you would like to get in on our monthly stock market update, that's happening next weekend, June 5th, 9:15. Just go to the IRIRadio.com website, go to the webinar page, give the registration link a click, and you'll get an email back, and you'll be ready to go for next week. If you have questions for us this morning, it's 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Investor Resources, the program that sheds new light on your investment strategies. The lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Or email your question to help at IRIRadio.com. That's help at IRIRadio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
Rule 2, excesses in one direction lead to an opposite excess in the other direction. I'm Don Creech. Along with Perry Sykes, we host Investor Resources every Saturday morning at 8. No professional or successful investor ever bought and held for the long term without regard or respect for the risk that are undertaken. Professionals are looking at speculative risk and have a plan to protect capital. What is your plan? By the time most investors figure out their risk exposure, it is often too late to do anything meaningful about it. Be prepared. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be sure to register for our next stock market update at irradio.com. That's irradio.com.
Supply chain problems, the virus, and social distancing are adding to economic weakness. I'm Perry Sykes, and along with Don Creech, we host Investor Resources every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Investors are ignoring falling earnings that have serious consequences. It's like running red lights without an accident. Soon, you think you're good at running red lights, and eventually your luck runs out. By the time most investors know their losses are serious, it's often too late to do anything meaningful about it. Get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irradio.com. Call us at 800-317-9119. Remember, get a free portfolio analysis. Email us at help@irradio.com or call us at 800-317-9119. Be prepared. Register for our next monthly market update at irradio.com. That's irradio.com.
Well, that's true. Don't believe in evolution, but that's part of the theory of evolution, and it's certainly true with the evolution of companies in the stock market. It is the strong ones that survive. They may go through a long rehab period if they have made a mistake, and if they have enough capital, they can survive something like the pandemic if the government is so kind as to let them open their doors and shut down their competition. That makes it easier to survive when government says, we'll let you stay because you make big donations. But the little guy next door, he doesn't. We don't know, you know, it's not safe for him to do business. We're going to let you stay open. I mean, that's the system. One of the things I mentioned in an earlier segment is that this is the end of month, so we're doing 401k updates. And if you're with Boeing or federal employee and you're not on our list of guidance on how you should be currently adjusting your 401k account or the TSP account, send us an email, help@irradio.com. help@irradio.com. We need to know which plan, Boeing, TSP, Costco's another one that we do. Delta Airlines is another one that we do. And if you're in there, and if, even if I didn't mention it, and you want us to, you want to see if we cover your major company, you can just ask and we can tell you yes or no. Send an email. We need the company 401k you're interested in. We need your first and last name to set you up for distribution. And I send them out every month. It's a freebie. It's guidance on where leadership actually is in your account without waiting for very out-of-date data from your HR department. Anyway, we have Kathy from Bremerton online. Kathy, glad to have you out there. Thanks for calling, and you are on the air in the Puget Sound area. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Our son lives in Shelton, and he keeps wondering why the lumber yard right there on the rail tracks is stacked everywhere with lumber, and the cost of lumber is so high, and there seems to be a scarcity. He doesn't see it.
Well, there, part of that may, I don't know, in Shelton, whether or not they have a labor shortage, and they may have a labor shortage downstream somewhere where they're not ready to receive the material. So my neighbor contracted for his small prior deck to be removed and a larger deck, which turned out to be really nice. But it took a year to get his deck rebuilt because when he'd call and say, where's my wood and where are the guys doing it? They'd say, well, we know where your wood is. It's still on the stump in the forest in Oregon, and it just hasn't made it to the mill. So part of what happened with the pandemic is that mills shut down. They, across the country, they're saying, well, nobody's going to be buying wood. So the timber companies laid off people, the mills laid off people, and all of a sudden people don't have any place to go. They're going to do remodels, and they show up and they want lumber. So my guess is it's stacked up there. They're waiting for others to say, we have the labor to receive it. We actually see that with imported product. The ships come in to port from Asia, and they can't offload their stuff. The pandemic-imposed labor rules have reduced the amount of staff available on the dock for the Teamsters, and they can't unload them as quick, the ships as quickly. So we have ships that are anchored outside the L.A. Long Beach area. Some of them come up here. I happen to live in Manchester, and I can see Puget Sound, and outside between the west side of Puget Sound and Blake Island is anchorage for container ships that can't get into port here in Puget Sound to offload, because there's nobody there to process it on the receiving end. And my guess is that's the same situation that's causing the backlog of lumber in the Shelton plant. That's
okay,
my best guess.
Well, I guess that makes sense. What a weird world we're living in.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks for answering my question.
Well, you have a great day, and celebrate Memorial Day. Celebrate all those people who have kept our country safe and have preserved our freedoms in all branches of the military, male and female. They have given up time. They have sacrificed family. In many cases, they've sacrificed limbs and their lives so that we remain the most unique country in world history. And let's pray that they are receiving enough support from our government that they can continue to do that job for us, and we don't have to live under the Chinese rule.
Amen. Yeah, that's what we need. Yes.
Well, one of the things that's really changed in the stock market is new companies coming to market. We used to call those IPOs, initial public offerings. But that requires some money, it requires some time, it requires lots of attorneys, and then you'd have to find a major stock brokerage firm that says, yeah, we'll buy your stock and then we'll go resell it, which is how we're going to make money. Well, that process seems a little cumbersome. So in the recent year or so, we're an innovative country. We create things, and we created blank check companies, special situation acquisition companies. If you are a personality with a big name and people know you all around the world, you can start a SPAC and say, we are going to start a company, give us money, and we will go find companies to buy. Just give us the money. And a lot of people do.
They did, and for a couple of years, that's all it took. In fact, if you were famous, you had a much better chance of having people hand over their hard-earned cash for your people to go out and find a company to buy. And it looks like that the great unlimited interest in SPACs is finally waning.
Well, part of the problem with SPACs is that the personality who's attracting this capital also goes to some people who he knows who are now going to be insiders, and they put up a ton of money. And with that money, other retail investors say, man, they got a lot. Let's see if we can share in the pot. And so they do go find a company that, instead of doing an IPO, says, well, I'll sell to you, and then you can put it on the market, and we'll get there faster with fewer attorneys. Well, the insiders, they take a look at that before it goes public, and they get to say yay or nay. And if they say nay, they get all their money back.
Yeah, yes.
And then it goes to market, and you get the leftover.
Whatever happens to come in later. So, yeah, so the SPAC sponsors, they're really covered. The investors, they're completely naked. And that's why one of the reasons the SPACs were so popular was the sponsors were almost guaranteed great income. And anyone who, the investors, not so much. It depended on how they went. And there were so many SPACs out there that they didn't have enough high-quality companies to buy. And as soon as they went public, they started losing money, started losing share value, investors lost money, and all of a sudden everybody's upset. And so people don't want to be a part of that anymore. So startup companies are actually starting to turn down SPAC sponsors, are just saying, nah, no thanks. You know, we're going to wait because we don't want to be the punchline of the most recent company to go down the drain because we went public too early.
Well, and in the long run, waiting to do an IPO and actually have a track record of making money,
yeah, there you go,
with your product or your service, makes the eventual stock offering a much better offering, and probably going to get a better better price at it when they finally do go
absolutely
public.
Yep, correct.
So that's, and it's going to provide investors with better protection in the long run. Protection which they have not had with Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin's been very volatile lately, and there's over $300 billion been lost with investors chasing Bitcoin around. But that's not what we do. Join us next weekend for our webinar, IRIradio.com, IRIRadio.com. Register for next Saturday's stock market update. You want to talk to us during the week, it's 800-317-9119. And Lord willing, we'll be back for both the show and the webinar next week. Have a great weekend.